Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
February 1, 2022. Gee, I'm surprised I can get through that. Anyway, that's what it is, and that's when it is, but who knows when you're hearing this, because this is the show you were looking for. How do I know that? You can hear me bang on my mic stand. Anyway, there's actually a functional reason for that. And in the continuing efforts to present to you what it sounds like when the Hard Rock DJ wanders into the talk radio studio and gets lost and decides to take over the joint, this is the O'Shelly Effect. So, tonight, we have Jeffrey Matt with us in the first hour, and in the second, we have Pierce Redman and the weenie dog in the background for some reason. Anyways, Pierce Redman porkins himself in the second hour. I don't know. Maybe the weenie dog's protecting her puppy. The puppy's my co-host in the studio tonight. Sorry. So the weenie dog's out there barking for some reason. My apologies. Anyways, Jeffrey Matt in the first hour. I think I already said this, but why not again? JeffreyMatt.com, JeffreyMatte.com, and if I said it too fast, it'll be in the show notes, is where you can view his work. Also, Pierce Redman in the second hour, PorkinsPolicyReview.com, that's all one word too, but we'll get to more of that in the second hour. So, Jeffrey Matt, improv as per usual, and how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Chuck. And I'm ready to roll.
All right. I'm glad you are, because there's no other way to do this. At least not on my show.
And we have the puppy as the co-host, so that's good.
Yeah. Bonnie's doing well. She's a little bit bigger than a guinea pig now. So, you know, she's getting there. Only a couple weeks old. And anyway, I love this little puppy. It's killing me because it's so tiny and... Anyways, I put out pictures there for you guys, and nobody wants to hear about this. Jeffrey, I'm sorry. But, yeah, look, I know we have serious business to discuss, but we might as well start off laughing and also enjoying just life itself and the continuation of it, because if some people had their way, we certainly wouldn't. And you sent me a clip before the show. Now, I don't know where this fits into what it is you want to talk about tonight, but I did take a listen to the clip. And it's a curious one, and I got it all ready, loaded up for you. So what is on your mind tonight, Jeffrey Matt? I mean, I'm just going to turn it over to you because I don't believe in a script, but love to go to your strengths, and your strengths are whatever you're working on at the moment. Of course, if you haven't heard Jeffrey Matt before, he's all over in my archives, and I think he still survives on my YouTube channel. I got to check. But, you know... you're there. Jeffrey Matt has been a part of the conversation for the past couple of years, had his own show on O'Shelly.com briefly, has been on here as a guest, a caller, shown up just when I needed him and things like that, but always brings some interesting stuff to the table. So what's on your mind tonight, Jeffrey?
Well, I wanted to have an exchange with you and the listenership about solutions, because I noticed that most of the shows that I've done since day one are about problems and it's coming and it's doom and gloom. I sort of want to expose what I would consider directions or trajectories towards solutions, and not to give advice, but to expose different kinds of problems, but then talk about the solution with you. And I know if there's anybody who I can have that discussion with, it's you, Chuck. Because I've learned quite a bit from you over the years, and I'm going to continue doing so. But the basic overture that I want to just start with is maybe that clip. But before we go into the clip, I want to explain that we've had conversations about communism and then with fascism and the social credit system. But I want to particularly focus on the U.S. Incorporated, and I want to focus on how communism has played a role in the U.S. basically since day one, since the U.S. was, I don't know if it's since it was founded, but pretty close. And there's a cult that's hiding behind this communistic movement, and that Jordan Maxwell had pointed out. But there's a clip that I'd like to have everybody listen to, and then we can have an exchange and tell each other what we think and how the solution might be hiding in plain sight.
Okay, this sounds like a good thing. I've got the clip ready. I just wanted to posit to you that it's fascinating to me where these different isms, when you examine them, you know, in an academic sense, no matter what they are, by the way, whether it's fascism or communism or, you know, or capitalism, anything that is called an ism, I got to tell you, they all wind up at about the same spot for me in my mind, because they all get hijacked. If you look at the initial structure of things based on somebody's theoretical proposal when it comes to organizing a society, it almost seems like some people had good intentions. It's a weird thing, and it doesn't matter. I do mean to add the word patriotism to it as well, because here's the thing. What people are calling patriotism is not necessarily patriotism anymore. What people are calling communism is not the original thing any longer. And there is, I agree with you, absolutely, a cult behind a lot of it. And that cult is about control and death. Okay, and because death is obviously a great way to control. You can set examples this way. You can definitely minimize all of the resources you might have to put forth to manage things if you can, well, cull the herd, etc. So there's a lot to be considered here. And this exchange, I want to put it in context before we play it, because there's a curious individual here asking a question. And this is clearly during a hearing. So do you have the full context on exactly what it is we're going to be listening to, just in an academic sense, in a descriptive sense? You have the representative who is known as John Kennedy, I think the third, maybe. And there are many people named John Kennedy, and there are many people with the Kennedy name. And this happens to be the one, I think, with the Southern accent. Who we do hear from time to time, but could you put it in full context for us?
Well, he's doing an interview. You know those boring meetings that almost nobody listens to on the news? At least I never did. The ones who have are very, very intellectually astute, and they want to get to the bottom of things. But for my entire life, I didn't listen to any of this stuff. And he's just talking to this lady, Amarova, I think, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, and mm-hmm. she was recently had said she was a potential candidate to work for the Fed, or she was proposing that the Fed just basically takes over. There are no private bank accounts, okay, right, for the American people, and it goes straight to we just take control. The Fed just takes control of the whole banking process, but all the way down to the individual level, and you don't really have any say over it. So when I heard that originally, time went by, and mm-hmm. I came across this clip where this senator is interviewing her, and I found it very revealing to see his research, his homework, and his interviewing process, and her response to mm-hmm. all this, including a brief touch on this Federal Reserve thing with the banking.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the surface, Jeffrey, what this is supposed to be, because I'm one of those gluttons for punishment who actually watches a lot of these proceedings, and you do have to be a glutton for punishment. I mean, you don't need sleeping pills, okay, because usually this is a very boring thing that's done. There are a lot of minor positions. I know there's big headlines when a new, Secretary of Defense is, you know, say a cabinet position, a main cabinet position is desired for a particular appointee, and then they have to get Senate confirmation. And this is part of the process that goes on where they allow different senators to question the potential appointee, okay? Just for a basic academic sense of what you're going to hear here. and honestly, it is tedious, ponderous, boring, okay, normally. And you can have access to this because in the United States anyway, I don't know if you guys have a service like this in Canada, but in the United States, we've had this thing called C-SPAN for a while where cameras are in the House of Representatives and the Senate almost all day long, every day. So if you are one of those people who is a glutton for punishment, you don't necessarily need a cable subscription. You can go straight to the C-SPAN.org website or whatever. It's like a public service out there still that exists that, you know, will at least show you what the government's doing, supposedly. you know,
yeah.
And that's what the curious context is here, is that in the midst of this, and generally it's a lot of grandstanding from different partisans trying to score points, trying to virtue signal. You'll hear a lot of time, like if it's in a lot of cases where you have a woman who is a potential appointee for a position and there has never been a woman in there before, you'll hear each senator pander to the idea of, I'm all for women taking up positions of power, but, you know, I don't like you because whatever. You'll hear a whole lot of pandering. You'll hear a lot of grandstanding, statements being made, and this is why they allow them usually like 5 minutes to do this. And then they have to move on. And the different committees have to question these individuals, right? And it's very funny because there's a lot of paperwork behind this, too. There's supposed to be a lot of vetting, a lot of checking. Let's make sure we're not, you know, bringing in foreign agents or people that are going to be destructive into a position of power. Because make no mistake, even though these are not the headline positions, these are positions of power that are being vied for by different applicants who have been chosen, appointed by whomever is responsible for appointing them. And in this case, I think it's a presidential appointment. But again, not one that you would have major headlines about. Does that sound like a fair summation to you, Jeffrey? Is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the best part is that for me, hopefully this isn't one of those boring clips, especially for the people in the American environment.
But even if it is, it's only 3 minutes long. So
yeah, let's blast into it and see what's happening.
Exactly.
America, you can believe what you want, but we can't just let anybody be controller of the currency. You wrote your thesis in college at Moscow State University on, the title was Karl Marx's Economic Analysis and the Theory of Revolution in the Capital. But you won't send Senator Toomey a copy. You studied at university, at Moscow State University, scientific communism, which is the science regarding the working class struggle and the socialist agenda. In 2019, not 30 years ago, in a Canadian documentary, you called the financial services industry, quote, a quintessential asshole industry. You wrote a paper called Systemically Significant Prices, calling for the federal government to set wages, food, gas prices. In 2020, you wrote a paper called The People's Ledger, where you said we need to abolish bank accounts and make everybody set up an account at the Fed where the federal government will have access to your data. In 2020, you wrote another paper called The Climate Case for a National Investment Authority, where you said what we need to do the oil and gas industry is have the federal government bankrupt them so we can tackle climate change. In 2019, you joined a Facebook group, a Marxist Facebook group, to discuss socialist and anti-capitalist views. Now, that's what I see from your record. And you have the right to believe every one of these things. You do. This is America. But I don't mean any disrespect. I don't know whether to call you professor or comrade.
Senator, I'm not a communist. I do not subscribe to that ideology. I could not choose where I was born. I do not remember joining any Facebook group that subscribes to that ideology. I would never knowingly join any such group. There is no record of me ever actually participating in any Marxist or communist discussions of any kind. My family suffered under the communist regime. I grew up without knowing half of my family. My grandmother herself escaped death twice under the Stalin regime. This is what's seared in my mind. That's who I am. I remember that history. I came to this country. I'm proud to be an American. And this is why I'm here today, Senator.
Okay. Now, before we get into what it is behind all this, I try and think about this a couple of different ways, Jeffrey. But if you'd like to go first, go ahead and tell me what it is you just heard.
Well, I was brought into the American family, I think, when I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I know one thing for sure. I'm not interested in having America destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested in the people who brought me into their homes when I was a child after soccer games or family outings and all this stuff and going out to carnivals and Six Flags or God knows where. I went out camping. That, yeah, I just want to all transform into North Korea. And so I was brought in to the American system and treated I would consider very, very well. Of course, there's always bad apples everywhere you go, but that's not the point. The point is that how come I can come into the American family and realize that, hey, the American spirit, or people call that, I understand there's propaganda and there's the hoopla, but at the end of the day, I have to go with the behavior of the people I met and the experiences that I've had. And someone who comes into the system and lies flat out, I'm not involved and I don't join the groups and stuffs. Okay. All right. So the point of this clip for me is two things. Number one, it doesn't fly. It doesn't fly with me. And it shouldn't fly with anybody who's got a brain. And this information, this is exactly an example of someone who is operating inside of the United States for the specific purpose to create an outcome where there is no United States and it's gone. Now, she'll deny it, and here's the thing. This is an underlying pattern of the end result of a secret society. But before I go into the secret society part, this is very important. I read this to everybody. And this is from Cornell Law School. Okay, so this isn't, some guy in the basement somewhere waiting for his next check from his mom. Okay, so it is the 50 U.S. Code 841. 50 U.S. Code 841. Findings and declarations of fact. Now, this is very important. Because this clip was in 2021, if I have this correct, 2 months ago, so just the end of 2021. But this, what I'm going to be reading to you, is from 1954 in August. Okay, mm-hmm. This is what it says. The Congress finds and declares that the Communist Party of the United States, although purportedly a political party, is in fact instrumentality of a conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States. It constitutes an authoritarian dictatorship within a republic demanding for itself the rights and privileges accorded to political parties, but denying to all others the liberties guaranteed by the Constitution. Unlike political parties, which evolve their policies and programs through public means, by the reconciliation of a wide variety of individual views, and submit those policies and programs to the electorate at a large for approval or disapproval, the policies and programs of the Communist Party are secretly prescribed for it by the foreign leaders of the world communist movement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can go on and on. I don't want to put anybody into a coma here. I'll read just a very small of a portion. I'd like to see what Chuck has to say. But its members have no part in determining its goals. So that woman there you listen to saying, I'm no part of no nothings, actually she is. But she executes a foreign, privately run, secret society, people will call it communism,
mm-hmm.
and are they recruited for indoctrination with respect to its objectives and methods, and are organized, instructed, and disciplined to carry out into action slavishly the assignments given to them by the hierarchical chieftains. This is basically, she's a perfect cookie cutter mold where she writes, you know, papers, she studies, and all this stuff about Marxism. And then she says, I don't be no nothing, understanding no nuttins. I don't be go getting no nuttins. So unlike political parties, the Communist Party acknowledges no constitutional or statutory limitations upon its conduct or upon that its members. The Communist Party is a relatively small numerically and gives scant indications of capacity to ever attain its ends by lawful political means. And the peril inherent in its operations arises from its numbers.
Okay.
And so basically what I'm wondering here is how come in 1954, and I could finish the last paragraph and a half, I don't want to put – everybody can read these things themselves. But I'm just giving you an introductory understanding that this issue has been going on for a long time. I wasn't even born when this – the facts and declarations of fact were issued on August 24, 1954.
Right.
And so what I'm – the point of all this is to explain to you that the Communist Party, the fascists, all these other groups – it's just a secret society, and they've been operating in here. And it's even declared that it's a conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States.
Okay.
So to me, I don't know. It's just something I was wondering what you think about all this, that we haven't addressed it really. And here we are in 2021 when this interview was done,
right,
and we're still stuck at the and at this stage.
Well, this,
nothing's happening.
Okay. Well, this leaves me with many questions because I have not researched the individuals being interviewed here. It's impossible for me to research every single appointee, but have you done the research on this individual and found points of fact? Like, is she actually a member of the Communist Party? Has she declared any membership anywhere? Is she on a list somewhere? That's one question. Another would be that in the context of what he was asking about the Facebook groups, if he's making that allegation and he can prove it, I would like to have seen or heard the proof from him about her joining that group, because Facebook is a nebulous mess of all kinds of things, and quite frankly, if you don't know that it's being, you know, played with by intelligence groups all over the world, you know, I don't know what to tell you. So I'd love to see the proof that she joined some group and had these discussions. As yeah. far as her track record at Moscow and, you know, whether she should be called comrade or whatever else, here's my issue with that. If she is in the Soviet Union, okay, which still existed maybe when she was in college, and that's where she was born, she has a point here that she can't help where she was born. Now, there was a larger question that Mr. Kennedy did not ask, which astounds me, about why in the hell do we need somebody like this in our system if these things, these points of fact that he's trying to bring out, if this is remotely true, somebody should be asking why this person is being appointed, because they seem incongruous with the goals and objectives of the United States. I mean, look, the declaration that you read from, it's during a very interesting time in our history, for sure. And I'm not saying I argue with it. I am saying that somebody's not asking why in the hell this person's being offered up in the first place when guaranteed, and look, bringing somebody into a criminal organization like the Federal Reserve, I am not surprised at all that they might need a communist among them. But I would like to see proof that she is. I'd like to see proof that she joined that Facebook group. And by the way, not just somebody can get me a screenshot with her name in it or anything like that. Mm-mm. because we all know that cloned, doubled accounts, and everything else have occurred on Facebook. So somebody go, get the data, prove this, and disqualify her outright. No need to question her even. You see, this is the interesting part about the process. Where this is dangled out, and I want you to expand your mind on this, Jeffrey, because this is going to get a little weird, okay? And it might be hard for me to explain because I can internalize certain things, but believe it or not, I have a hard time explaining some of them. Because I talk a lot. I know people are used to the idea that he must be able to explain everything that he wants to, but no, not true. Anyway, there's the weenie dog again. Here's the thing. This person is being dangled there for a purpose. And that purpose is not clear to me as for whether this is to literally install some sort of communist control or this is to make it a point that they have a political distraction regarding an appointment to the Fed that is worthy of contention or not. There are multiple levels here where it's not simply a blunt introduction like you would think it should be. See, this is the problem with the system now, where we are being decoy ducked constantly. Okay, and this looks to me like an example of exactly that, especially because Russian name, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it, somebody who did grow up in the Soviet Union, is it possible that they had further education on our system and therefore, because they could understand that and our system, that they've decided to do something? Nobody's going to ask those questions. All they're going to do is play the game of let me defender or attacker. So I'm curious if you did the research to find out if, A, she's actually some sort of registered communist. And by the way, that's not proof in and of itself, if you can't find it, that she's not part of a conspiracy that could involve this, because the smarter people will not put their names on membership lists. But I'd like that proven, and I'd like this Facebook allegation proven, because that's the groups where she says she doesn't know anything. I didn't knowingly join any group. Okay, you didn't knowingly join any group. Let's see if we can find if you're lying. If you're lying, I've got another issue with you. But point is, the bigger question needed to be asked before this exchange even happened. Is this person remotely qualified to do the job that they're being given? Are they somebody who even seems like they're on the team? Okay, you don't go and hire Tom Brady to play for a baseball team right now. Okay, that's not the guy, even though he was the best football player. And who knows, maybe he could pull off playing baseball, but it's not his job, it's not his thing, it's not the thing he's worked at all his life. So probably there's other people you could hire for your baseball team. And probably there are better people who understand maybe the troubles and situation here, even though, again, it's a criminal job in my mind because the Federal Reserve is an illegitimate organization, which has dictated a monetary policy to this country now for over 100 years. And under a veil of secrecy, they have controlled the economy, which means they have effectively controlled the quality of life now for how many generations shall we count? At least 5, 6, 7? Okay. So here's the problems. Is this just political theater and meant to get the reaction that it's getting out of you, and also meant to get the idiocy reaction out of defending her? Okay, because I'm not talking about logical defense like I just did, where I said, no, present proof. But I mean the people that will just say, no, you're attacking her because she was appointed by, you're attacking her because she's a woman, you're attacking her because you're a xenophobe, which is exactly, I guarantee, what, and I only vaguely remember this woman, by the way. Watching all these different things go by, it's impossible to sift out the reality from the endless droning on of nonsense, which I think is purposely done. But anyway, I go back to my original questions, which are, did you do any research on this and find out who she is exactly? Or are we making assumptions based on his questions? I'm just asking you.
Okay, that's great. So first, the deep dive where I have the irrefutable proof is not available for this show tonight. Okay. What is available, and if ultimately my opinion is not that I'm claiming she's a confirmed 100% communist. What I'm trying to bring to the table is there are, you know, tens of millions of conversations that happen everywhere every day about people, but it sort of seems like that could sort of be that way. Don't want to make a false accusation, but at the end of the day, they're delivering on the goods of a secret society. So I'm not saying she is a confirmed communist, and I'm not saying that she's part of groups. And I've had, what I'm saying is this is an example of what I would call, and you could substitute her name with anybody else that would say that I'm not part of any of it, but then they follow through on it. Okay, so that might not be the case for her, but the, what triggered me in the sense that I became aware of her is that she was proposing the idea that the Federal Reserve just basically you have a direct account with the Federal Reserve. Mm-hmm. And to me, what that tells me is that that decision went, let's say she was, you know, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt, you know, that everything she said, you know, she's not this, she's not that, I didn't join anything.
Okay.
But she makes the suggestion that helps complete the pattern of the business model where it ends America. It ends the system that we have. Because actually America, as far as I'm concerned, was ended a long time ago. When it was incorporated in 1787, and I'm still trying to learn more about that process. But at the end of the day, the purpose of this show, the purpose of this clip, is to help people understand that the people who are in on this, she may not be one of them, but it leans that way on the surface, where I didn't join anything, she didn't join anything, but she's proposing what they need as a whole for the group, and that the U.S. government, what I would call the corporation, took the time in the 50s to explain that they understood this. Now, of course, it's not put out in the news, it's not put out in the school, and it's definitely not taught so that nobody can continue the search, to continue the process of self-education and protecting your home. You're going to put that under the rug, and they're going to replace it with MTV, Beavis and Butthead, and Keeping Up with the Kardashians. That's what they're going to replace it with.
Okay, don't pick on Beavis and Butthead, though. I like them. I mean, come on. look, I understand where you're going, and I'm cracking a joke because I'm about to say something serious here. I do like Beavis and Butthead. I thought it was a perfect mirror to hold up to my generation, actually, to show us, like, hey, look, this is what you're doing. So... And Mike Judge is about ready to relaunch King of the Hill, by the way.
Yeah,
he's got a whole new animation studio. I'll probably talk to Pierce about it in a minute. But this is a sidebar, excuse me. the thing is, this is what the problem is in my mind, is that all of this is almost irrelevant to me, Jeffrey. And I'm not trying to insult you. Just try and understand where I'm coming from. If we can't get people to wrap their minds around the fact that the Federal Reserve is illegitimately in control of a significant mechanism that affects the entire population, what is the point of this? I mean, because, look, she's proposing, well, just have a direct account with the Federal Reserve. You know what? Maybe cutting out the middleman wouldn't be so bad, theoretically, at this point, because they've already hijacked the dollar. They've already hijacked value. Okay, and by the way, they're no longer in as good a control of it as they once were, because they used to be able to play with the interest rates and it would change the economy, you know, heat it back up, cool it off. Yeah, that's not working anymore. It's no longer working. These people have lost control of the one thing that they wanted to take control of properly. And, you know, they've already bloated it and made it horrendous. And now we're facing an economy that, I'm telling you now, an honest economist does not know what direction we're about to go in. That's the truth. But the Federal Reserve used to at least appear to be a governor on it, even though it doesn't belong there. We don't need the central bank. This twice already we got rid of one. This one has stood for over 100 years. So, you know, this is the problem. And bringing in, even if she is, let's just say she's card carrying, she's part of the, honestly, What worse could they actually do at this point? They've already stolen the value of labor and the value of the exchange between individuals. They've already hijacked all that. So what they do with it next, you know, it's almost irrelevant, because wherever they're going, they're going to take it there anyway. You and I have no say about it. The only way to fix this is to get the hell out of that entire paradigm. We need to get the hell out of it. So to me, this is, and again, I'm not insulting you. I get where your sentiment's coming from. And look, I don't want to hand America over to anybody, even though I know it's a damaged and dirty place. It's still my home. All right? And we could do better with this place. We could do better with this place. We, the people, could do better with this place. All right? And all I got to say is, as far as I'm concerned, what, a direct account with the Federal Reserve? Well, that's just one step closer to the implosion that needs to happen. That needs to be done away with. And until we do, all of this, again, I question whether it is just part of the puppet show to keep us, the children, distracted or not. Because, again, she's on a Facebook group talking about socialism and communism. She's educated in communist theory and science. Why is she even eligible to be appointed? Who did that? I gotta tell you, I want to know. And I also want to know if Kennedy's got his facts straight or if he's just red baiting. Because if that's what he's doing, I'll tell you something else. He's another one who's come up kind of useless in my mind. A couple of times making good, solid points. Sounds so uniquely American and solid and rock ribbed, baby. But then other times, this guy goes off on tangents, and I'm like, you are just suckering the people that have actually been convinced that you're a leader into just walking off the edge of the cliff. I mean, I know you're not going, Chief, but you're sending people off the edge of the cliff with, let's be afraid of this and that and the third thing. The biggest problems in America are right here, in front of us. They're not coming from over there. It's right here. It's the corruption. It's the system that's been hijacked. It is the control of very, very few individuals who have absolutely hijacked anything resembling that dream that you and I were taught about as kids, which had already evaporated, in my opinion. But, you know, at least we still had the delusion that it was here. Our parents might have had the illusion that there was more to it than there was. And before that, they might have actually been able to taste it in the air. But you know what? The truth is, they took it from us a long time ago. And if you want to get into the Federal Reserve, it's in 1913 that we lost control of our money. Real simple. The banking system has ever after benefited off of it. And a lot of those banks, whether they call it the Bank of America or not, are foreign controlled. Are private organizations as well, who want to do what? Profit and protect themselves. That's all there is to it, and it's got nothing to do with you and me, except that those middlemen have figured out a way to drain wealth just like their bosses. And the wealth is not in dollars and cents. It's in value. And because they've been able to control value, they've been able to control inflation, squeeze people to not be able to earn, and yet still allow the entire matrix of prices to rise. I mean, you know, which ism do you want that is doing this damage to us? They're all doing it. Everything hijacked, corrupted, and perverted has done its job. And it's been a little bit painless to most of us because we're kept busy. And, you know, the boiling frog. You turn up the temperature slowly. I don't know. To me, that's what I take away from this. And still, I want to know. And now you're going to make me have to do research, Jeffrey. I got to tell you. You're telling me you don't have it available tonight. Okay, I understand. But I'm telling you that I've now got to do research. Because I'll tell you, if blatantly what John Kennedy just said, which, by the way, there's... you know, probably 6,000 guys named John Kennedy walking around, because guess why? And some of them are related and some of them are not. I think this guy's actually a Kennedy cousin, by the way.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if he's remotely correct, then he's still asking the wrong question. The biggest question is, what in the hell is somebody introducing somebody like this into the equation where they do not belong? Because then that leads to other questions. Does that mean that actually, no, you just don't understand the system, Jeffrey and Chuck? You don't understand. We need a communist in there. That actually, that's part of the equation. It's a little different than worrying about whether we're getting infiltrated by the greater conspiracy. That game is over. They're here. Without firing a shot, we lost our nation. Khrushchev was correct.
Now we're cooking, because even, and I appreciate everything you've said. One of the main goals of tonight's show that I want to bring on the air tonight is to show examples from 2021, yes, 1954, and then this is visual, so I'll have to describe it. But there's several states in the United States incorporated, mm-hmm, that have a seal. All states have a state seal. Nevada has a sunrise coming behind the mountains, rising behind the mountains. New York, mm-hmm, Montana. I already mentioned Nevada. I think even Kansas is one of them. And so the point of what I'm saying here, even Hawaii, okay, there's a rising sun in the background. And so where does this come from? Well, the dawn of the new day, and that's Jordan Maxwell. And Jordan Maxwell found an article from I don't remember which paper it was. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if it's the New York Times, saying that the Federal Reserve was welcoming the dawn of a new day. So what that tells me, and what I'm trying to transmit to the listenership, is that they've been there since almost the beginning, because the sun rising behind the mountains was a symbol of world communism. And it was associated with the state emblem of the Soviet Union, okay? And so the point that I learned from Jordan Maxwell that I'm trying to reiterate here, maybe nowhere near as eloquently or as, you know, I'm not as erudite and academically profound, is that America was taken over by this cult that uses communism, and their visual, one of their main symbols is the sun rising. It's a solar cult. And it's showing up in the state seals as early as the 17 or early 1800s. That means that my suspicion, and based on Jordan Maxwell's intense research and excellent information, is that maybe this cult was there since near birth of America, if not before the birth of what people will call today the United States of America. And so this is the reason why I'm bringing this up. And you know, if someone says I'm not part of something, that may be the case. I want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. But that's not how secret societies work. That's not how secret groups work. They tell you everything's going to be fine, and meanwhile they do what they're going to do. They tell you one thing, they do another. And so the point of this whole show is to let you know that we're still facing the same issue. We need to understand that we do not have a country. We have a corporate democracy. If you go to dunandbradstreet.com, and that's a website, you can look up corporations, see who's registered, who's the CEO, da, da, da. It's just real plain, you know, dry stuff. But you can go look up government of the United States, and you will find there it is. It's a corporation.
And I know you have a screenshot of this. Do me a favor.
I have it. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, send me that screenshot again, because I know I've used it before on another show with you. It is a real thing that you've shown us, and I knew about this, but quite honestly, it's a more remarkable when you have the visual aid. So please send that over to me again. You know my email. And something else I'd like to encourage you to do is take a look at the progression of coinage. Yeah, I said it. Coins in the United States. You can see changes happening in the business by the coins we're using. And you know what? Your solar cult is also visible around many things. I mean, you think about that whole, you know, Lady Liberty, the Statue of Liberty and all that. take a look at the stuff that surrounds the head of Lady Liberty and tell me that that doesn't have something to do with the sun. Tell me that on these coins, if you go back and look at the coinage of the United States from the beginning, once we had these, you know, unified symbols that were accepted among everybody, seemingly, not in the days when there was script in separate places. And yes, indeed, it was a sloppy way to do business, but it got done. Once it was codified, there's all kinds of interesting symbols about the ancient, well, let's just call it what it is. The ancient goddess religions are inserted into the symbols that are etched onto the coins. And, you know, all the way up until today, you'll find various interesting symbols, not just, you know, the heads of state on the coins. Matter of fact, I think we didn't actually have a head of state on a coin until I think it was Lincoln was the first one put on a head of a coin. And he wasn't put on there until long after his death, if I remember correctly. Or maybe it was perhaps, though, it could have been Roosevelt on the dime. Got to look that up, actually. I think it might have been Roosevelt on the dime. Anyway, either way, for a long time, they didn't even do the dead president thing on coins. It's and also take a look at not only what's on them in their symbols, but take a look at what they're made of. And why it is they use the cheaper metals now. There's a whole system there when you're talking about money. But anyway, no, I'm not here to argue with you, Jeffrey. What I'm here to say is that there is a larger problem that that people need to consider how it is to extract ourselves from, because this is the almost insurmountable solution. As far as I'm concerned, is that if we don't change the way business is being done, then business will remain as usual. And we, the people, although we are supposed to be the supreme authority, based on all law that I understand that is natural, and even that thing called the Constitution, we're supposed to be the supreme authority here. And look around, it's not the case. So, you know, oh, but by your representatives, I'm so sick of having the argument about the allegedly representative government that you'd have to take a vow in order to allegedly get the result that would reflect the democratic wishes of the people. I'm tired. I'm tired already. You know, let's get down to it. And frankly, unless the money, unless the rate of exchange, unless the quantitative understanding of value is retaken by the people, I argue with you that none of this will mean anything without that. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I mean, everything you said I agree with, but the only thing is that I want to hopefully just reiterate the significance of what you and I are talking about. But what I was presenting is that if these symbols are there and the state seals, mm-hmm. if a solar cult, which I'm claiming is connected to all this, mm-hmm. and that Jordan Maxwell actually did the work and put it out there and did presentations on the Dawn of the New Day, and that the Federal Reserve itself was discussing it and associating it with their imprimatur. What I'm trying to say in all this is that even though there's coins and all that, like all the examples you say are correct, is that for the solution to occur, you have to understand the problem. And understanding the problem is that you don't have a nation, you have a corporation. And if you want the status quo to continue, that continuance is going to be a consolidation of corporations mixed in with the world's largest, what I would consider, and this is just a guess on my end, the world's largest bankruptcy in the history of the world, because I don't have access to the audit. I didn't audit it, you know, the whole world. Nobody can audit the Fed, right? So if you can't audit your own central bank, supposedly it's our central bank, right? Mm-hmm. Since this can't be done, you don't have a country. You don't have a say. Your vote really is theater. It's a theater. at this stage. So the point of everything is the solution starts with understanding. The solution also includes, in my humble opinion, if the dollar is weakening and the purchasing power is going down, but magically a escape chute appears, it's called cryptocurrency, where all the people who are on top of this are going to hobnob in there, become millionaires or billionaires. Meanwhile, the rest of the human family doesn't understand what it is. It's an escape hatch. It's basically a milestone to the social credit system. And so as the dollar keeps going down, as the cryptos keep becoming more popular, if everybody just sits back and relaxes and waits for the next senator, the next currency comptroller to come into place, it doesn't matter who gets in. The business model is being executed, and the solutions, in my opinion, are based on a few things. Number one, stop using a smartphone. If you can't get out of using the smartphone because of your work, I understand that not everybody can stop it, but if you're in a position to do it, do it. If you're in a position to not use certain programs, like, for example, there's a lot of people who are into basically the social credit system with this whole COVID thing. There's an application called VSafe, from the CDC. You can install it in your phone. Try not to use any of these applications, because this is how you give up what little we have left is being completely sucked out of us. And when the bankruptcy goes through and the dollar collapses or the banking system collapses, who knows when that's going to happen? What is left over, and there is no alternative at this point. Now there's a temporary alternative between the dollar and crypto, is there'll only be crypto. Then when you're on crypto and you're using all these applications, you're self-testing with your phone, and you're not the listenership, but all the people who really are stuck in this thing, they really believe they're saving the world by staying home and triple masking and quadruple jabbing, and then updating everybody with real lifetime feeds of their face and their iPhone or whatever.
Right.
This is the incorrect solution. And also, most importantly, behind this whole thing is that we don't have a nation. Well, how come? Because we live in a secret society. We do not, as far as I'm concerned, we do not have a society. Because if we did, I could walk into any courthouse and I could make some sort of appointment with any judge who's available to have a sit down with the person who pays his or her salary with my taxes and your taxes, mm-hmm. and learn about the system. I could see judges and lawyers going into school, not trying to find out, if your mom's about to divorce, and hand out business cards, but to actually teach and educate our younger people that this is how our system works. It's our system. But mm-hmm. since nobody can really get any answers on where does stuff come from, what's in the injections, what's in this, what's in that, nobody knows what's in Coca-Cola. The recipe for Coca-Cola is just as secret as that. In many cases, it's more secret than some of the most secret stuff on Earth. It's all corporate. You're in a corporate takeover of the world. They're using communism as a platform to get you there. And the fascism, as far as I'm concerned, is corporate communism. That's all it is. They don't pay taxes, but we do. Mm. They get a waiver because they're more important, and we don't. And so that was the whole point of tonight's show, is that the solution starts with the individual, starts with you, and includes me. I'm not above any of these problems, by the way. I'm just as subject to all the hurt that's coming.
Right.
But to change the outcome and to learn from this is to understand the problem. And Jordan Maxwell pointed it out that this is my interpretation of it. You should go watch his videos and encourage him and support him. And if you can, make a donation, because this man has worked for 60 plus years for the human family, But it's that you don't have a nation, and it's a secret society that's behind it. And if you look at for those people who are visual, and I'll send Chuck the picture, if you look at the Soviet state emblem, there's a sun rising in between the wheat, okay? And then at the above, there's a red star, okay?
Yeah.
And people say, well, okay, you're describing this to me over, you know, over the radio, but go look it up yourself, and then go look up at the logo for the CIA. It has a yellow ring around the seal, and in the middle there's a red star. What you're looking at is a symbolic explanation of the same thing. Right. It's world communism. That's what the CIA does. That's why you don't know anything. That's why the CIA has never come out publicly and says, we found out what's going on with the COVID. We're going to save America. We know what's going on. No, in the news it says we'll never be able to figure out nothing. And it wasn't the CIA. It was somebody, I forget who it was. It was somebody in the intelligence community. There's multiple articles came out saying, we just don't know if we're going to be able to figure out where COVID came from or what actually happened. But they can, you know, tell us to stay home and triple vax and update right. and test at home and all this stuff. Stay prison time, baby. That's what communism is. And if you eliminate all the other banks and you only have the Federal Reserve, and then you have the dollar crash and all you have is crypto, guess what? Welcome to North Korea.
Well, you
welcome
gotta,
to North Korea.
Yeah, look, and you got to go beyond communism, though. That's the only argument I have here is that people that go, it's communism. It's like, no, see, here's the thing. They invented communism. The people that are really doing this all, they invented it. And it's got to do with a whole lot of esoteric stuff. See, and I'm glad you brought up Jordan. Of course, as you well know, I'm somebody who finds Jordan's work absolutely essential in understanding what it is that we're faced with here. And it's funny because I just the terminology makes me squirm just with a couple of minutes here. You're talking about crypto. I wish I was worried about crypto. What I've been worried about is digital, because all that is just that now. The idea that we physically exchange things, which, by the way, even when we were doing that and people are like, let's go back to the paper money, you weren't in control of that either. But now they refined their control, because most of what they even claim exists in the money supply doesn't exist. It's a digital fiction. It's no different than a blog post at this point. Okay, like a blog, like I can go get rid of my blog post. Yes, you can. It's erased. Nobody can find it. It's gone. How do I know this? I know that a lot of my shows are gone off the internet. Stuff can just disappear in the digital world. It can be rewritten, reformatted. You don't need to burn books anymore. All you got to do is rewrite them or disappear them. Gone. Nobody's got physical books. Hardly anybody. I do. But a lot of people don't. So you just rewrite them, disappear them, create new things. And that's what they're doing to everything. And now, in Metaverse, you get to be part of it. Hooray!
And that's what biometric cryptocurrencies, which means your body is you are the mining institution for the bank. You mine... Your value to the Federal Reserve is going to be inside your body with cryptocurrency. You won't need the smartphone anymore. So if you want to stop it all, you want to really interrupt it or slow it down, try not to buy the iPhone. I don't know what we're at now. iPhone 15 or something like that. I don't know where we're at.
Track.
Oh my God. And so it's basically, I was able to at least get the point through.
Right.
Is that we're being manipulated by a secret society, a cult. It's been discussed many, many times. I'm showing you that it's a symbol of the sun rising in the background, and it's connected to world communism. Mm. And we just got to keep trying to learn the truth, and don't believe in the politician system. Believe in yourself and make a difference on your own. That's how we can change. Make a major change. But dropping the smartphone is a big one. Get a landline.
Well, do something other than complying. How about that?
That's it.
You know, here we go, Jeffrey. I'm sorry that we're out of time, but I want people to go to Jeffrey Matt, JeffreyMatte.com. All one word there, .com, right? JeffreyMatte.com. You can examine Jeffrey's work there. And, you know, obviously we're going to have to continue this conversation. But I think people should remember that it's not just the mark of the beast. It's the beast of the mark that you got to worry about. Anyway, in the next hour, Pierce Redmond, the Ocelli Effect, will continue after this.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough.
Maybe you're thinking about getting started.
WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go there now.
Go there now.
Revelation through conversation.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination spoken to her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're listening to the Ocelli Effect at Ocelli.com.
Do you like history, real history, that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, by author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War, by author Mike Swanson.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks, by Larry Hancock. Secret wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to Larry-Hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at Amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Ocelli.com.
Second hour of the Ocelli Effect continues now at Ocelli.com. Anyway, no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, welcome to it. Of course, you could be sometime, some other place, etc., etc. Doesn't matter. Happy to have you along. And I'll tell you, it's been a weird week for me. And who knows if it's going to get weirder already, because I've got Pierce Redman with me. PorkinsPolicyReview.com. You like how I do that to my friends, Pierce, where I like always say something strange introducing them? It's fun to do. It's like, let me just make him a little uncomfortable right before we start talking. Anyways, PorkinsPolicyReview.com. Of course, not as much material coming out of there as used to be, but still stuff coming out. And I advise you go back in his archives. A lot of cool stuff there. You know, and not just if you don't want to hear my voice anymore, go over there, listen to Pierce. He sounds different. Although I did add Joseph L. Flatley to the Thursday rotation now, and Mike Swanson has moved over to Thursdays. So, you know, I don't want to get another email about, isn't that Pierce Redman? It is not. I assure you.
There's a few. Oh, I guess they're not. They're not audio interviews, although that's how he conducted them. But there's some interviews I did with Joseph on Epstein, but right. Those are written. So it's not it's not just the two of us. So technically, you could still argue that we are the same person.
I guess, but I think I actually had you guys on the same show.
I've definitely recorded many things with Joseph. So I mean, unless I'm like, you know, one of us is super good at impersonating or creating and you know, some sort of alter ego, and we're able to post on both of our websites. So
all I got to say is, you know, if you are both guys, Amy's very lucky. She's got two in one.
Right.
And two odd fellows that I appreciate. I mean, how much more narrow of a category could you get? Anyway, there's lots of stuff I could be talking to you about, Pierce, and let's get to that, because I don't know what's going to happen to the rest of Tuesdays, but I guess you're still sticking to every other Tuesday with me, right?
Yes, correct. Okay,
fair enough. I did go through a little shuffle recently, and so, you know, it is what it is, and we're going to see some other changes coming to the network shortly, but not talking about it today. Anyhow, it's a load of fun, because we have actually done, what, two shows in a row on Star Trek. And I know you and I have some other mutually interesting pieces of media we could discuss coming up very soon. Matter of fact, tomorrow, even though we got those little specials on Paramount, South Park's going to kick off its 25th season. I'm not sure if I'm excited for it, to be honest with you. I wasn't even going to watch it this year because I was so disappointed with season 24. And they kind of dragged me. They pulled me back in because... They did two good specials with the time jump and the weirdness there, so I might have to watch South Park, and I don't know if I'll make it through the whole season. I guess that's up to Matt and Trey. Anyway, King of the Hill's getting a reboot because
I'm excited, though.
Go ahead.
No, I'm excited for. I feel as if they might have gotten a little bit of like a, I don't know, some sort of like rejuvenation with the Paramount Plus stuff. So I'm optimistic that the return will be. And I don't know if you saw the trailer for the episode Returning, but it does seem a little bit more in line with like the sort of like classic older South Park, where I think it's like it's something like PC Principal cancels Pajama Day, which I actually hated as a kid.
I never was in it. You and I went to two different types of schools. Nobody was going to try and pull off Pajama Day in the neighborhood I was.
Well, I never did it. Yeah, I mean, it always just seemed. Yeah, it's also just, I feel like, you know, when Pajama Day was like popular, was like in middle school, and not, you know, not to get too graphic, but you know, it's a lot of boys, you know, going through changes in their body and whatnot, and the idea of wearing like loose fitting. You know, pajama pants, sort of like, it terrified me in that sense. and I think, you know, I'm illustrating my my fears here, hopefully, to at least many of the male listeners will know. But yeah, I just thought it was super lame. I was actually just talking about this with Amy recently. we were traveling on Amtrak over the holidays, and I was also talking about this with a really good friend of mine at work, and the people that like wear pajama pants on Amtrak for not even like a necessarily like a long Amtrak ride.
Just
like I've gone up to Albany and Schenectady, you know, numerous times over the summer to visit friends, and like you'll see people like, and that's like a 2 hour, if that, 2 hour train ride, and they've got pajama pants, flip flops, the like neck pillows.
See, somewhere in the early 2000s, Pierce, I got to tell you that I was working, you know, pretty heavily in the convenience store business, and there was a change. Where, you know, 24-hour store, you were working there at 2, 3, 4 in the morning, you certainly saw people come in their pajamas. Because they were just like, they had to go down, they needed cigarettes, they needed a cup of coffee. And they didn't care. They rolled out of bed, jumped in their car, and they showed up like that. But then, around there, I'd say just post 9/11, people just started showing up like that all day long. And then I noticed that, yeah, people would just go, look, I got to go for a drive or I got to be on a train or what. And they would just wear, and it's just like, it became a thing. Now, of course, I had another weird side question for you. I was like, I'm wondering which Star Wars pajamas you actually owned. Because, you know, Porkins, after all, I'm thinking, you know, you might have had the C-3PO heads, you know, in a pattern.
I did not, actually. I think I've really only owned, like, in terms of, like, you know, the kind of like textbook case of pajama bottoms. I think I've really only like ever owned like maybe like one or two pairs in my whole life. I just like never wore them. You know, it's like if I was going to wear something like that, I would just wear like sweatpants.
I gotcha.
Which is also objectionable. You know, the whole like sweatpants everywhere fashion statement is also kind of disgusting. But
and
pajama pants are truly revolting. Especially also like...
And a risky proposition for an adolescent boy in middle school.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was the other. I just like couldn't imagine wanting to place myself in that sort of danger, you know?
Right, and of course we're leaving the funniest part of that unsaid, but that's okay. Anyway, but it is funny. You're on the Amtrak and seeing people. I will disclose to you right now that I actually own. Let's see, I think three. I own two pairs of Punisher pajama pants right now. So, just saying, I don't have any Star Wars. If I did, they would be Darth Vader. Anyways, I actually, hilarious, I'm wearing a pair right now. And so there it is. Now you've gotten a visual. See why I don't turn on the cameras? Okay. It is funny to me, though, that South Park is kind of experiencing this rejuvenation, maybe. I found that funny when I saw that preview as well, because I was like, PC Principals canceling Pajama Day? Okay, I wonder what that's going to be about. Will it be a political statement? Will we get the multi-layered but still, you know, nonstop jokes of the past? I don't know. But I hope so. I'd like to not see South Park die a pathetic death at some point, you know. And then we're just looking back on, I remember the early seasons. Anyways, there's that. But also, like I was bringing up before, King of the Hill. Okay, Mike Judge, a reboot of Beavis and Butthead again. And a King of the Hill. And why? Because him and, what is his name, Jeffries... there or
Greg Daniels,
that's what it is. Greg Daniels I'm thinking Greg Jeffries, like the Met. Anyways, Greg Daniels and Mike Judge are partnering to do a whole bunch of stuff from a brand new studio entity, and one of the things they're going to do is a King of the Hill reboot, which people have been asking for a long time, and according to some things I've read. Because, yeah, I've actually read about the cartoons I want to see. You know, they might do a time jump and see what, you know, an aged Hank Hill is like now in this environment. And a grown Bobby Hill, maybe, might show up in that series. Now, I don't know that that's what the basis of it is for. Of course, you can't get Brittany Murphy or Tom Petty back.
Yeah.
You know, because they're dead. And that would be, Luann and Lucky, who were pivotal characters.
I also wonder, You know, I wonder about like Khan. I sort of can't see Khan returning. And of course, I'm blanking on the actor that plays Khan, King of the Hill, who also voiced like a million other characters, including Cotton.
Right.
But I'm sorry, Toby Huss. But I can't see Toby Huss is white. And I can't see that going, you know? I feel like there's a lot of backlash about...
Apu.
And I kind of, I mean, I actually do understand that. And, yeah. Well, you know, yeah, Apu. I mean, that kind of, you know, and I mean, there's like a load of, you know, like black characters on cartoons that are all voiced by white voiceover actors. So I do understand that, but I don't know if we will see Khan... I'm actually super pumped and excited, but I do wonder how King of the Hill. I don't know. I mean, I assume that Mike Judge and Greg Daniels are. I mean, they're both savvy and smart enough as like writers that they. I think they could avoid some of the like overt kind of I don't know like political stuff. I just don't think that King of the Hill. Would do that well, and I don't think that they never really did that on the show.
But
I mean,
because they got the perfect vehicle.
They did, but it was never like, you know, it's like the joke was like, Hank saying like, you know, who wants to lick a stamp with Bill Clinton? And, you know, and like the, I mean, you know, the problem with George Bush was that he had a weak handshake, not, you know, I mean, so of course there were things like that. And clearly, obviously Hank comes from a more sort of socially conservative sort of background, but even that is kind of ebbs and flows and whatnot. You know, but I don't know. I just don't think King of the Hill will be funny if they're like, you know, talking about, I don't know if Dale is into like QAnon and they're talking about Trump and transgender.
I disagree though, because I gotta tell you, Dale could be the most entertaining thing possible. You know, and look, if you think about it, moving things into the modern age, Boomhauer can't be the womanizer anymore, right?
Maybe.
Because he'll get
me
too'd, right? He'll get me too'd somehow. You could have, look, don't forget Joseph, who Dale fully accepts as his son. Joseph could be the QAnon guy, and, you know, Dale looks at it and goes, oh, that's cute. I remember when Area 54 actually was Area 58.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I guess that's right. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm excited. And I hope it is good. I just, I do wonder. Again, I think a bit like with a lot of South Park, I find my favorite King of the Hill episodes have like nothing to do with politics, nothing to do with like two sort of current event things. You know, I just like it when it's just, you know, the guys in the alley, you know, just kind of getting into, you know, jams and funny situations.
But see, most of that was based on the fish out of water principle, where it was like times are changing and it doesn't make sense to these kids to do stuff a certain way. I mean, it is now a lot of years here where there's all kinds of weirdness that Hank could not wrap his mind around. And, you know, look at it this way. Bobby Hill, who was supposed to be, you know, look, we're more sensitive. You got to be understanding. Maybe he's going, I understand sensitive, but I don't get any of this crap. And maybe Bobby Hill's the new Hank Hill, you know, and Hank has to try and go, oh, I remember when I had to deal with changes with you. And they can do flashbacks. You know, of stuff that we didn't see on the show even. I mean, there's a lot of potential there, I think, to address the social issues, the social contracts, family structure. I think everything could be addressed very well, depending on how they do it. And so, you know, I'm just anxious to see what they do with it more than anything.
Yeah, so am I. And if people are, you know, it's not exactly like, I don't know if it's a perfect analogy, but there was another show that Mike Judge did after. I think it was after. I'm not sure the exact timeline. I think it was after King of the Hill, not concurrent. But that's called The Good Family. I think you can still find all those episodes on YouTube. It's G-O-O-D-E. Mm. And that's sort of like a liberal version of King of the Hill, you know, with like a liberal family, and it's not as funny, although, and that I think is more sort of overtly political, and a lot of the jokes, you know, have to do a bit more with like politics or political issues or social issues. But that was, I mean, I was just watching it again recently, and while it wasn't quite as funny as I remembered it, I mean, it was still super funny, and I did enjoy it. So that might, you know, if people want to check that out too, if they're itching to go. But I mean, really what you need to do is just rewatch King of the Hill right now, I guess.
Yeah, well, look, King of the Hill is, and it's getting new life in syndication as of late, because I think it's in anticipation of them rebooting it, so they're familiarizing a younger generation. You know, like Cartoon Network has added it back to Adult Swim.
Yes, yeah. And it used to be on there for years.
Yeah, it was, but it was almost like you knew King of the Hill was on. It was almost over for Adult Swim if you were up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So just that's the way it was. But now it's getting more and more prominence. I think even the, I don't know, Comedy Channel, the Comedy Central might be playing it. I saw it listed on a whole bunch of networks like all of a sudden. And that's why I wondered what the hell was going on. Then I saw the announcement about the Judge Studio and I went, oh, of course. It's in preparation for that. And I think also they're going to have some sort of Paramount special too.
I'm not sure about, I think you might maybe told me about that. I was trying to find something on that.
Yeah. I read it in one article, like it's not confirmed. It's all bunch of stuff out there. So it's interesting though, if you need something to take your mind off of the madness that is, I mean, what else can I say about it? Of course, there's new Star Trek's coming in the next couple of weeks. The Discovery series will continue. And in coming months, we get season 2 of Picard. We get Strange New Worlds this year. So, I mean, there's plenty of distraction for you. And you and I will probably chronicle some of that. Which, by the way, did you finish up to the half there on Discovery?
With Discovery?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Didn't we talk about that? Wasn't I done the last... Or maybe I wasn't?
I think you might have just been done with it, but you've now
had
some time
to stew. I'm definitely up to date, yeah.
Okay, well, can't wait to go into the next part of it with you, and we'll do that. But when it arrives, right? Or maybe when it completes itself, who knows? We'll see what the timeline looks like. But anyway... You also said you had a couple of current events outside of this kind of stuff that you had on your mind.
Yeah, nothing like too crazy. I think kind of in line with you know, we've been like, I guess the past couple of weeks you and I have been talking about, you know, like TV shows and like I sort of hate how this is, you know, this idea of like content, you know, everyone is a freaking content creator. Everyone is, you know, it's all about content, and there's so many shows to watch. And, you know, I do this a lot with, like, you know, books. It's like, oh, there's, like, this fantasy series, and then this sci-fi series, and then I have to read this mystery, you know, and there's so much content. But it feels a little bit like that, only just in, you know, we've got this, and I think it's sort of the silent, you know, kind of like the sleeper hit of the year. Or certainly maybe the sleeper hit of the month, but the Winter Olympics, of course, begins, I think it's this Friday, is the opening ceremony. And mm-hmm. I don't know, I'm just always like a big fan of that. It is sort of like, it's obviously flown under the radar, but I think it'll just be interesting to see how that plays out, because obviously like the U.S. is just so... you know, they just get so excited about like the Olympics and dominating and sports, and it's not about politics, but we've got to be better than every other country,
of course,
and whatnot. And obviously there's this complexity with that, in that the U.S. I guess is like a, I don't even know quite how this works, but the U.S. government is boycotting the Winter Olympics, but all the athletes are allowed to go and compete.
Yeah, it's a half measure where they're doing none of the, you know, the ambassador stuff that would go along with the Olympic Games. Like, we're not going to participate in any of that, allegedly. But the athletes are still going, and they made a point to say that a bunch of them went on one plane, I think, this past week. A bulk of them because, quite frankly, for COVID restriction reasons, it was easier to group them together in one pocket. And that's not normally the case. They usually get there, you know, all separately. That's going on. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to be the sleeper hit. I was almost bracing myself for you to tell me that you were going to talk about Squid Game because 'cause other people were talking about that, I thought.
Say that again, Chuck. I couldn't hear you.
Oh, Squid Game. I thought you were going to say the sleeper hit Squid Game.
No, no,
no.
No, I just mean like sleeper hit only in the... I think that it was just funny like seeing the hoopla. And I guess it's like... It's sort of being like, you know, obviously like the geopolitical event that everyone is supposed to care about in the U.S. is Ukraine and you know, Russia's going to invade. And somehow this means that it's like the end of the world and democracy. And we're all supposed to sort of care about this. But I'm just interested to see how the Winter Olympics will happen with not only with the kind of COVID stuff. And obviously there's some pretty freaky, you know, very draconian laws and sort of things that are going on in China right now with, I mean, that make the sort, I mean, not that we've really ever had like lockdowns in the U.S., but it makes, you know, the what we consider lockdowns to be nothing. I mean, the people that are haven't been outside of their homes in like, you know, months on end. Right. I don't know. I'm just interested to see and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it'll be kind of like a, you know, a clinker. It'll be like the last couple of seasons of South Park. But I think there's room for some interesting sort of stories to develop there. And I do wonder also just with the, you know, it seems like, you know, every day it's like, oh, the war with Ukraine is about to start. And it obviously isn't, or it's not really going to be a big deal. I just wonder, you know, how that sort of conversation will be framed with the, you know, with the Olympics sort of around the corner. And it'll be interesting because I feel like the U.S. loves to go to the Olympics and then kind of complain about all these other countries that are evil and, oh, well, you know, they're threatening their athletes or whatnot. And it'll just be interesting to see the, you know, how will they do that without kind of being there, you know, without... I think also without people kind of paying attention, it's like, oh, okay, we're boycotting the Olympics. And, you know, so it's, how can we can't like boycott them. And also though, be like super concerned about, you know, that, there's genocide in Xinjiang.
Yeah.
Which I guess is sort of behind all of this Olympic stuff.
Well, and they're waiting, I think, to see exactly how good the, athletes you're supposed to root for in the West are going to do. Because that might be a big changer there. I mean, if the U.S. comes away, you know, with nothing, it might look a little bad. And maybe the complaining about, you know, human rights abuses by some of their other competitors will become, you know, a frontline thing one way or another. Who knows? I don't know if that's a sleeper hit, but I got to tell you, it's one of those things that I just have no interest in. And this half-measure boycott is just like, you know, either do it or don't. You know, I mean, what are we doing here? 1980? I mean, you know, what is this? Is it 1936? I mean, what are we doing? Either make the statement or don't, you know? So, I don't know. It's a
weird
thing.
I just get excited about the Olympics. I'm not as excited about this particular one, but I do love the Winter Olympics. I think it's great when you have it just because it's like February can seem just like, you know, never ending winter, and it's just kind of depressing. And you know, now it's like we can all get into curling, you know, we can I don't know, get into, you know, luge or some weird sport that we like never really care about. I'm excited for it for that.
I say somebody that serves decent food in a chain somewhere needs to do a McDonald's on this, and then people will care because it'll be like, you know, if you get but what is healthy food in a chain anymore? I don't think there is. But let's just say there was. you know, because remember that where they had the Olympic thing where, hey, look, if the women's gymnastic team gets a silver medal, you'll get a Happy Meal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
Free Big Mac.
Free Big Mac if they win the gold, you know, in hockey. Whatever. I don't even remember it all. I just remember the people collecting these things, holding on to them, waiting to see who was the medal winners. And just for that reason, because they were going to get free food out of it. It was a weird time. Anyways, I don't know, man. I've kind of just lost interest. I don't know. I maybe something will change that. I don't think it helped that we had the whole, you know, U.S. women's gymnastic team thing go on. And that's another weird thing, is yes, indeed, all that stuff needed to be revealed. But to me, that whole process of young women in the gymnastic teams and all that has always been a brutal, brutal thing. When you dig into it about, you know, the training they go through and the way they end up living in order to do those things. I don't know. It just seems like, yeah, okay, other countries do it, but God.
Beyond the USA Gymnastics is like it's like a criminal enterprise. Yeah. When if you like pay attention, you know, to the not only to the trial but also like the congressional hearings on it. I think that actually in a lot of ways I think you're right. That kind of ruined the Olympics for many of us who are kind of, you know, fans of the Olympics, or you know, they I always get into it, you know, whether it's summer or winter, but I think that was you know, I think like some people, like my dad's, you know, stopped paying attention to both cycling and baseball, two sports he loved to follow because of the, you know, doping and cycling and steroids and baseball. And I mean, yeah, I get that, but I mean, yeah, the USA Gymnastics stuff. I mean, that was crazy because that seemed to be from the sort of, you know, all the way down to these like just insignificant doctors that just had access to these young girls, so they just, you know, oh, they could fulfill their sort of sick fantasies, all the way up to you know, people that were like running the Olympic committee, you know, that were like in charge of not just the gymnastics but the whole USA, you know, Team USA knew about this. And I guess it was just all about, you know, it's, I mean, that's when it becomes this question of like, it's sports is inherently political.
Yeah.
Because obviously the political value of having this amazing team, you know, win gold medals in a sport that nobody really cares about in America outside of the Olympics. And I mean, you know, you look at like talking about like, I don't know, like the Super Bowl, right? The other big sporting event that's happening in 2 weeks.
Yep.
And you look at like, I mean, not only just like the physical toll that like, you know, these NFL players are taking, but I mean, really short careers. I mean, look at, you know, USA Gymnastics. I mean, your career, I mean, you could never have, you could conceivably not even have a career.
Mm.
You know, you could injure yourself and then you miss the Olympics and then that's it. And you're not going to make the team again. There's no money, you know, there's no like safety net. I mean, obviously some of these people, like, you know, Simone Biles and others, I mean, they're big enough, they've got sponsorship deals and, you know, they could be media consultants and whatnot, you know, and analysts on NBC or whatever. But, you know, for a lot of them, I mean, it's just, they've one shot to just, you know, just sort of be on the biggest stage, not even to win, not even to, you know, do very well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy the amount that like they were all willing to look the other way. And just let a bunch of predators just abuse children for, I mean, what has to obviously be decades. I mean, it seems, you know, it felt very reminiscent of like the Catholic Church. You know, this is just sort of ingrained. This is something that like had always been done, and you know, and it's, that's just sort of par for the course. I mean, that was the impression I always got.
Well, it's just, look, this is going to be an ugly analogy. I'm going to get hate mail. But I'm going to say it anyway. Pierce, ready? It's like, we already knew the guy beat his wife. Now we found out he raped her too. I mean, it's just, we know that this is inherently predatory, this circumstance, period. But it's like, now add this. It's just, I don't know. You know, and it's just, I don't know. Everything gets ruined, man. Everything gets ruined.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, everything is tainted.
When I was a kid and it was on, you know, your regular TV and all that, I would actually watch some of those, you know, Sunday afternoon when they couldn't play golf, you know, they would show you the regionals of
But
I defy you that somebody who's I'm into the Olympic sport. I love the sport of fill in the blank. Yeah, okay, so tell me when the other competitions happen. You know, do you know when the qualifying events were for the skiers? Huh? You love skiing. No, you like the Olympic skiing. Because it's at that level. I mean, really, it's like, let's be honest about this, right? Nobody's going to pay attention up until the big show. And that's that. So, you know, and then when you go to look at how the sausage is made, I mean, it's
right,
just
right,
it's
exactly.
just horrible. It's horrible. So, anyway, it's an ugly thing all the way around, but who knows? Maybe that'll be a redemptive thing that goes on. I mean, I don't know what could possibly cleanse people's palates as we go into ready? the election season that is just about ready to really pop. And you know those midterm elections are coming. And you know the headlines from the January 6th committee are going to be, you know.
I guess that's actually like the real sport that people in America care about now is like electoral politics. I mean, I mean, I think it's because I have like zero interest in the NFL at this point. Outside of the fact that they've finally legalized sports gambling in New York, so I am excited about laying some money on the Super Bowl on the 13th. But legally, I used to use like some some offshore websites, which are technically legal. Following. In the first hour talking about crypto stuff, a lot of the offshore sites all really encourage crypto and they want to pay out in crypto.
Oh, sure.
And I don't know, maybe that's how I could have gotten Bitcoin. not that I ever won big on Super Bowl bets. But outside of that, I have like zero interest. And my sense is that like the NFL just, I know it's big, but I do feel like, yeah, like people are. The like blood sport that people really care about now is politics, the midterms,
Is
Trump gonna run again? Is he not gonna run again?
Well, it's cheaper than buying a jersey. You can just claim that you're supporting a certain team. I'm with the Republicans. Okay. I'm with the Dems.
And you'll probably get some free merch if you go to some of these events.
You can get some free merch. Or, you know what? It doesn't cost that much for a MAGA hat. Just saying. you can get them at the flea market over here. I think 10 bucks. The guy's got them over there. I don't know if it's official Trump merchandise, but it looks like it. So, bootleg, why not? He's got a new T-shirt out. Did you see the new T-shirts? It's like... Whatever.
No, I haven't. I did see the headline that he's gonna pardon all of the January 6th protesters, or at least the ones that
somehow. The Texas rally, which I discussed last night briefly with Hesher, because he's in Texas, and the reason why I had to bring it up, honestly, Pierce, is because totally objective, got nothing to do with what Trump said or anything else. The quality of his crowd, I was stunned and didn't want to say it, and then Hesher said it, and I had to chime in and say, yeah, I thought the same thing, was the quality of the crowd has certainly declined. it's
really?
Yeah, it's very weird. I'm literally seeing people, like, you used to see them all nodding, like they were circus seals, you know what I mean? Like, that's what you used to see. And now some of the scans of the crowd, it's like there's guys looking at their phones. There's guys that clearly know they're on camera behind him, so they're just like, let me stare at the camera. Stare at the camera. And I'm like, the quality of that crowd is just down. I'm not even going to describe any of the other particulars as to why. And it's got nothing to do with, with judging people. I'm just saying. You look at it and you know that this is different than the other rallies. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I wonder, you know, it's interesting because I feel like you and I have kind of like you know, like debated this before, but and I think this is I used to be kind of a, or I still I guess am of the opinion that, you know, it's I know he's out there, but like without social media, without these things, I do kind of wonder like the impact that he's really having. And I know you've argued that, you know, nothing has really changed with that. I mean, he's still doing these big rallies. It's just like, you know, we're not on I don't know, we're not like it's, or I'm, you know, I think we're both not really as like tuned into like, you know, this sort of Trump mania, maybe the way we used to, or certainly when he was on social media. But it's interesting you saying that. I saw just like a headline at some, you know, rally where he's like, oh, we're going to, you know, he was at some rally and he was saying, oh, if I run, I might pardon some of these people. Mm. So he's not even, you know, it's not even this like when I win, you know, which I think is how he used to be. And I don't know, I found that interesting and kind of telling. And it does make you kind of wonder if, like, even he kind of sees some of the writing on the wall. Not to mention that, I think if I don't know, if there are, I don't know, if there are, you know, indictments, but certainly there's going to be trials of some of these people involved in the January 6th stuff. I mean, I think it also doesn't look good that, like, his own son was, like, you know, tweeting and, like, what are you doing? You got to stop this. And I mean, and where is God, I can't remember their names. Of course, their faces are like burned into my mind. But who the his lawyer, Sydney? Mm. What's her name?
Oh, yeah. No, I think she's been kind of cast aside.
And Lynn Wood. Where is Lynn Wood?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I think you're going to get a reboot on this reality
Sydney
show.
Powell.
Sidney Powell, of course. Yeah, right. But I think you're going to get a reboot on this reality show. And guess why I say that? Because all of these, you know, suspensions, removals from social media, they can be lifted in the next couple of months. Mm. That's one thing. The next thing is I'm figuring that the prequel to the next Trump reality show for the news media is the January 6th thing. Where they're constantly having, you know, they are still forcing them down everybody's throat on a daily, no longer an hourly or half hourly basis. But if I'm serious, if you take a look at the trends and their income, and I do mean the corporate media as a whole, you see they've fallen off, and somebody might just have it in their minds that, let me put it to you this way. If they basically reboot him to the 24/7 coverage he had before, like across all these allegedly opposition media platforms, then you know I'm absolutely right that he is nothing more than a good business decision for the corporate media. And I think that's exactly what they're going to do to get him out there during this election season and then run them in 2024, because as per usual, people that are privileged don't pay prices legally. So there's no way, you know, because people go, he might get indicted. They're working on him in New York. I think nothing will come of it. Or if it does, slap on the wrist, no big deal. And guess what? Still eligible for another term. And who else you got? DeSantis? Okay. I hear you, but I don't think so. And who do the Democrats have? Biden.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Biden is almost universally hated at this point. You're not going to sell us Kamala, because I think she might be slightly less popular than Biden. Okay.
Well, and she's sort of non-existent. I mean, it would. I also find I find that really, I don't know, telling or something. But
I saw the pundits literally float the idea maybe we should bring Hillary back into the scene. I saw that floated.
I mean, at that point, it's like, why don't we just don't even have an election? We could just put Trump in if that's the best that they can do.
That's what I'm thinking, you see, is that with virtually no opposition, with the economy tanking, the Republicans take back over the House and Senate so that, you know, look, they really don't have to take back the Senate. They just have to break the tie. And it's not a good tie either. Okay, they take those two things back, they obstruct for the next 2 years, and then when it comes around to Biden's time again in 2024, they won't be able to offer up him or Kamala because they'll be failures in a real way. They will get nothing done. So then they'll be like, well, you know what we do? Trump. And I think a lot of people are going to be angry enough to go, yeah, let's try that again.
It'll be different this time.
Well, you know how it is. I mean,
well, that's like the, you know,
I'm back to the battered wife. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know where I was going, didn't you? It's like, he says he won't do it again. I mean, really, that's how I feel about it. I think that that's exactly what's going to happen. I think it's extremely predictable. Some people disagree with me. And a lot of people have said, you know, if they really hate him, they've said to me, you know, look, he's going to go to jail before that. And I'm like, okay, then how come he's been free these 70 something years already? You know, there's plenty of places that you or me trying to pull up the same crap, we would have been behind bars. Period. And that's before he went to the White House. Okay. So, you know, forget it. Forget about it. This is not. And for people that think, oh, no, you know, people are seeing exactly. No, they're not. Because the people that were devoted to him in the first place, even if they're not loudly screaming for him right now, if given a chance, they will root for him again. I mean, it's like that's where we're going. And this time, you know, you put him up against old shoe, you know, as J.P. Sotillo used to say, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, would I prefer old shoe? Probably. But most people go, let's try this again, you know, because it was more functional than the past 4 years that we just went through. Because guess what? Biden's not accomplishing anything. And that's the way it's going to look in 2 years, I think. I think. Maybe just me. But anyway. Yeah. So we did political analysis,
it's
even though we weren't gonna.
It's funny too. You're saying that Biden's not accomplishing anything, and I don't know if this is gonna like date me, but I feel like, you know, certainly like when I was like more into like libertarianism and stuff like that, it was popular, in those circles, to not advocate for, but to, you know, sort of be more in favor of or more, tolerate leaders like Biden, because then nothing really got done. You know, it's like the federal government didn't expand or anything like that. No. And now, it's funny because I mean, that's how I see it. I think he's completely ineffectual. I don't think anything is really happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think it's not totally fair to blame everything on him, because obviously, you know, not even the Republicans, Joe Manchin, he's like, you know, people in these podunk little states, sorry, West Virginia, but they're totally irrelevant, in terms of like the country, and what's important. Mm-hmm. And yet they're able to, you know, veto or control the agenda. So, I mean, they're able to kind of block a lot, but I don't know. It's funny. I used to think that was good. We wanted people like that, you know. If we didn't want the sort of like expansion of the state, and yet, you know, I know it's just people are, you know, coming up with, oh, he's doing this, he's doing that, he's, you know, I saw in the chat, you know, Biden's dropping illegals everywhere, you know, and I mean, I just don't, I don't know, I don't think that there are like necessarily like more. You know, people, you know, illegal immigrants coming to America now than there were under Trump. I mean, nothing is really changed.
Well, see, there's the funny thing, right, is people are going, look, the post office is screwed up again. And I'm like, of course it is. It's the same guy that was in charge. He didn't change most of the people.
Right.
So literally, it's almost a continuation of the same administration. So what are we talking about? Except one thing, I will say that. It's going to be the economy, stupid. I'm not calling you stupid, Pierce. I you know what I'm saying, though? It's going to be that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know.
Because I don't know about you, and I got to say, it's one of those places where I'm thinking you're going to feel some pain along with this economy, the way it's slipping. But I don't know. You know, everywhere else in the country, including where I am, which is one of the cheaper places to live, everybody's rent's going up. You go to the grocery store, you know, you're already...
The grocery store is outrageous. Oh. I mean, I'm spending 50, 60 bucks, and I'm walking away with like four or five items from the grocery store. I mean, it's truly insane. I mean, I don't know if this is all just inflation or what, but the thing is that was it a little bit cheaper... 2 years ago when the pandemic started, but I don't think that Biden has like raised the price of like milk and bread. I mean, I think this is just like these are economic policies that were being made. I mean, Trump isn't even to blame for this. I mean, this is just sort of the trajectory of a globalized capitalism.
Yeah, but see, it's not relevant. But see, it's not relevant as to who's really responsible. Because they're going to point the finger at somebody. You know, right. Just like the people who are saying, well, you know, look, it's the illegal immigrants. They're the ones that are keeping the wages down. No, they're not. Yeah. Okay.
Well, and it's so just, funny, too, where it's like, what? Because I also feel like there's constantly this, like, there's a job shortage, you know? Not a job shortage. People are quitting their jobs left and right.
Yeah, right.
You know, and there's like we can't fill this job at Burger King, and it's like so where are these horrible illegal immigrants stealing our job? I mean, clearly they're not stealing enough of our jobs. You know, I mean, it seems to be this like it is in some ways, I think, with the right skills or not even the right skills. I mean, again, like they're filling jobs at Burger King.
Yeah, but
because nobody wants to go.
But see, that's the thing, is again, there's going to be jobs filled by people for less than what is even remotely a reasonable wage, because that's what they're going to offer. You know, they've even pulled back some of these, we're offering bonuses, they pulled back some of these raises and everything else, because now people are, having to crawl back, and that's the way it works, is they squeeze you until you crawl, and then you go, oh, it's okay, I'll just work three jobs. You know, it's just, well, you're surviving, right? Everything's okay. No, it's not. You're getting squeezed because of the culture and the way things are being run here. And, okay, back to what you were saying, it doesn't matter who's actually responsible for this, because whoever's in charge is going to get the backlash. So, obviously, why is it that Biden is, what, at 33% approval, which is lower than anything Trump ever experienced? Is because things are starting to suck. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's his fault. It just means it sucks. Well, let's look for the manager. You know, even though it is the waiter who threw up in your lap, you know, it's not the manager who did that. Now, should the manager have known the waiter was going to throw up in your lap? Maybe, maybe not. And that's the thing. You go to the manager, don't you? So this is what the American people are going to do. They're going to say this, and it's going to start this year when they flip things back over. Because that's going to be the reaction. Okay, that side sucked. Let me switch sides.
Mm.
And
yeah, no, I know. And it's just so lame. You know, I mean, it's just kind of, I don't know. I mean, the sort of, I don't even know what it is. It's not like a fickle nature, but there is something, you know, where it is that like battered wife syndrome, where it's just like, well, it's going to be different this time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not, you know, I don't know. He's not gonna say crazy things anymore. Or somehow even though the economy is gonna either stay exactly the same or probably get worse. You know, but it'll just. I mean, I guess it'll just be the last 4 years of Trump were, which is just a sort of like endless stream of just kind of like BS PR about, oh well, you know. The economy's doing great, you know. Oh, look at all these bankers; they're making money hand over fist, and you know all these CEOs, and look, Mike Lindell, he knows what's going on. Look at everybody's buying the MyPillows, but it's obviously the price of milk and bread and eggs and all this stuff is going to be more expensive or the same, or you know, nothing is really. It's not as if like our dollar is going to suddenly. Be able to buy us more. I mean, there's not going to be inflation is still going to happen. We're still going to have all the same problems that globalization have brought us.
Well, and the other hidden thing that, you know, everybody's going to forget about after about a year, once the quake is over with, is hang on to your leases, because your rents are all going up everywhere. Right. And I know that that's, look, it's rough anywhere to have a 20% rent increase, but when, you know, there's people in this country that don't realize that, you know, $2,000 rent for a small place is not unreasonable in certain places. And you turn around and go...
We pay over $2,000.
Right. So, you know, if I tell you, Pierce, look, I'm going to raise your rent by 25%, you're going to be upset. Okay. Just suddenly. And that's what is going on. Apparently everywhere we're seeing 20% increases. This is the kind of thing that's being reported to me in places like Virginia and places like Florida and places like, California, obviously. But I mean, every kind of state, doesn't matter, blue, red, purple, your rents are all going up. Okay, so
yeah, and that's also just that's money going into the hands of a small percentage of, you know, because I mean, most of these like landlords now, it's not like the kind of mom, you know, like my parents are, I think, are sort of like an exception to the rule in that, you know, they live in a two-family apartment, you know, it's like just a small kind of house basically. You know, that's right. Converted into two, you know, an upstairs and a downstairs floor. And, you know, their landlord lives in the house that's, you know, in the backyard of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this guy is, you know, he's like a family friend. But, you know, most people, these landlords are, you know, they're not even necessarily single people. They're like companies that just come in and just buy
groups,
up,
yeah.
You know. Tons of real estate, and they're donating money to, you know, I'm not preaching to the choir, but you know, all of these, you know, politicians that are going to screw you over taxes and other things as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. And then the claim is, well, no, property taxes are going up. So, you know, but meanwhile, this is going to be a serious ripple effect. And I don't think anybody's reckoning with that. You take a look at the economy, they go, oh, well, gee, we had like about 7% inflation, but we also had 7% growth. And it's like, what does that tell you?
You know? Yeah, I mean, doesn't that just sort of cancel the two out?
That's what I would think.
I don't even understand.
And let's talk about 7% for a minute. It depends on what you're buying. It's not 7%. Right. Okay, where does your money go that it's only as... I want to live where you are if it's a 7% increase. I got to tell you, because I'm not seeing a 7%. I'm seeing way higher numbers on a lot of things. Like, again, I know maybe I shouldn't eat meat or whatever, but you try to buy a piece of meat lately? Holy crap.
I know. Yeah, it is.
Holy crap. I can't feed three people. We are not having hamburgers even, because no
chicken. I mean, that's, you know,
well, that's up too.
I know, but I think beef, and there are more. I mean, I guess we just should not eat as much beef.
Well, and thank God I don't eat pork, because I'll tell you, bacon's out of control. I just look at stuff in the supermarket and I'm going, yeah, the stuff that was $1 is now $1.30, and the stuff, you know, and everything is kind of gone up 30%, not 7, 30 in where I am, and I'm hearing similar numbers everywhere. So, you know, you started off in a higher priced area, but I'm telling you, man, I don't know how long your lease is, but be, you know, just brace yourself, pucker up, because I don't know what's going to happen when they hand you a new one. I mean, you know, and I don't mean to throw fear into you, Pierce, but I'm just saying, man. If
well,
I was in New
I'll
York
just,
right now,
if in case any of the listeners are, you know, afraid, we live in a rent stabilized building, so it can only be increased by a small percentage every year.
Thank God for that, because I'm telling you now, somebody who isn't and lives.
I know. I mean, I can't. I actually couldn't really imagine it. I mean, that's why people sort of. You know, the problem is that then it locks you in. It's like you don't want to leave that rent-stabilized place, even if you don't love it, because, you know, it's such a godsend to have something like that.
Exactly. And, you know, forget about white flight. It's going to be green flight, because you ain't got the green to stay. Anyways, Pierce Redmond, we're done. So I'm going to close out the hour. I want to thank Jeffrey Matt for taking me through the wonderful world of communism in the first hour. And Piers Redmond, well, we just had a chat about a bunch of different things. What is it that could distract you from the depressing media and some of that media? And, oh, by the way, don't forget about the blood sport coming up later on this year when we actually get to the selection process. Anyway, PorkinsPolicyReview.com is his website. Ocelli.com is mine. JeffreyMatt.com is Jeffrey's. And no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Good night.